When the pandemic first hit, you know, we were just trying to figure out Zoom. We'd be there fumbling around, figuring it out. But after a while, you kind of get the hang of it. At one point during the summer months, we had over six Bible studies on Zoom that we were carrying on. Afternoon, evening, morning, Sunday nights, Sunday morning, everything. And so it was very quite interesting. And we're thankful that this technology exists. And incidentally, it existed before the pandemic. So I kind of hold my head and hang it down in shame because they say, boy, we had opportunities in the past. Maybe it wouldn't have been as received as well because people might not have been up to speed. Certainly now it's a vital part of many, many fellowships ministry and strategy to stay connected. We're looking at Joshua chapter 1, and I'd like to speak this morning on the topic of entering our inheritance, which is exactly what happens here in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. So let's read the first nine verses together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant or minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. We're now at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, that must have been some scene when the children of Israel came up to the Jordan River after having been in the wilderness for 40 years, 38 of them wandering all through the wilderness, basically going in circles in just a brief little area for 38 years, around and around and around they went in the wilderness. But now they had come to the shores, we might say, of the Jordan River. I say the shores. We think of the Jersey Shore as a big beach, wild woods, and all those other places that have big, long beaches. The Jordan River is a very small river. And yet they came to the brink of the Jordan River, and now God was going to make a new chapter in their lives as a nation. And they were going to go over that Jordan River just as God had promised to them. As a matter of fact, when they were in Egypt some years ago, 40 years previous, God said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. There's no question about it at all. They questioned it. So 2.5 years into that journey in the wilderness, they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. You know the story. In Numbers chapter 13, they went to into the land of Canaan. Golden opportunity. This is the time for us to move ahead. And what did they do? They failed because of unbelief. That whole chapter, chapter 13 into chapter 14, tells the sordid experience of these 12 spies going in to spy out, to do reconnaissance in this land that God said, I'm going to be giving to you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And when the report came back, only two of them came back with positive reports. You know the story, right? 10 negative, 2 positive. Joshua and Caleb, they were the ones that came back. They had a different spirit in them. Caleb, it's described that way. He's some 88 years old. He comes away saying, we can surely overcome. He had the right attitude. That should be the attitude of every believer. When God is on our side, we're part of a majority. And we need to keep that in mind. And Joshua had that same attitude. It says in Exodus chapter 33 that he didn't depart out of the tabernacle. He was surrounded with the goodness of the Lord all the time. He was committed. And because he was committed, he had a different attitude in him. But these 10 spies, other spies, they came in. They said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of these Canaanites. We're the inhabitants of the land are much stronger than we are. God was not in the picture with those other 10 spies. They came out. They had the dominant report. And the nation of Israel listened to that negative dominant report, and because of that, God judged the nation of Israel. They had already been in the land 2 years. God said, okay, you're in the land for 40 days, seeking it out and searching it out. 1 day, 1 year for every day you're in. And so therefore, add to the 2 years you've been in the land, another 38 years. You can look at the book, a verse in Deuteronomy 1:45. It tells you plainly, 38 years they wandered in the wilderness, carrying out that sentence, so to speak. But now they come to the Jordan River. Now God's going to move them ahead. Joshua's going to go in. Caleb's going to go in. The new generation that was born in the wilderness, they're going to go in. And it's a new chapter in their lives. Now, just like it's a new chapter in their lives, it can also be a new chapter in our lives, too. We can say to ourselves, you know what? I've been wandering around in the wilderness of my Christian experience far too long. I've been filled with doubt, worry, fear, whatever it might be. It's time for me to cross the Jordan River and get into and really apprehend the things and promises that God has for me. There's a lot of promises of God that maybe God's people are not really taking into account. It's easy for us to say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus and I'm on my way to heaven. And indeed, we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4 tells us that. But also, are we really entering into the resources that we have available to us right now? Through prayer and through the ministry, the Holy Spirit, the promises of God in our lives that are in His book, the understanding that we have, the spiritual perspective that is ours because we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that. Are we really entering into our inheritance? Are we appropriating the spiritual resources that are available to us so that we can go further into the Christian life and really appreciate and apprehend what God has in store for us? That's really the question. So just as there is a physical land for the children of Israel in Joshua's day, there is a spiritual land for us to inherit in our day. And even though Israel and the church are two different entities, we know that. Revelation 21 tells us the gates and the foundations are named after the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. So the church and Israel is forever differentiated even through eternity. So we're not saying we're the nation of Israel, the church. Okay, that's an important point. But the spiritual applications are there for us to apprehend and appropriate. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says all these things happen. These are not just myths. These are not just nice little stories with little spiritual lessons to them. It says all these things happened. Why? How? So that we, through the scriptures, might have hope. We might be admonished. We might take the lessons of the nation of Israel and say, I got to avoid that lesson. These snares in the life of the Christian, the devices of the devil that we shouldn't be ignorant of. And so that's what we're going to take a look at here this morning, some of the key principles, if you will, the prerequisites for entering into our inheritance, the time for us to say, let's move ahead. Now, granted, the pandemic has really walloped us, hasn't it? I mean, it was mentioned before, you know, same thing with our assembly, too. Wall-to-wall people, shoulder-to-shoulder, memories clear, memories of that. But the church and just people in general have all been hit hard with the pandemic and with the virus. But that doesn't stop us from enjoying the privileges and the blessings and the communion that we have with the Lord. And so what I'd like to do is consider these things. And the key verse here, of course, in Joshua 1:6, it says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers. That's what they heard as they were about ready to go into the promised land. So what do we highlight from this interesting chapter here that's appropriate and can be applied by you and me in January 31st of 2021? Well, the first thing is this. There is indeed a land to possess. There is a land to possess. That's a key point. If you don't think that there's a land to possess, then you're probably going to wander around in your Christian experience. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 14, which incidentally in the Greek is one long sentence. Okay, we think of run-on sentence. You want to talk about a run-on sentence, it would never pass the English class, right? It's a long sentence all the way to verse 14. But it starts out this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. and so forth. And if you were to take a look at that portion, 3 through 14, you will see a list of at least 15 different spiritual benefits, blessings that are ours in Christ. Spiritual blessings. I have no right to say God owes me a Cadillac and one in the driveway and one in the garage. There's no promise of guarantee for physical blessings, but there is a very clear promise and guarantee of our spiritual blessings. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 11 of that passage says, we have obtained an inheritance. We've already gotten it. Now, it's true that 1 Peter 1:4 tells us that we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. We do. But we also have spiritual resources, somewhat of a reminder or a taste of that inheritance right now. In the future, we'll have the fullness of glory. We'll have the fullness of companionship with Christ. We'll understand that. Sin and sorrow will pass away, will cease. We'll have no more worry about sin and conflict in our hearts and souls. All that's gone when we're in heaven. But right now, we can have a taste of that a little bit. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine is what the hymn says. And so we can have that enjoyment. We can understand the communion of Christ. We can understand that we have the assurance of sins forgiven. We can understand all those things. Let me just point this a little ways that way. There we go. All these spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. They're guaranteed spiritual blessings. And so there is indeed a land to possess. And so there was no fabrication of mine in the nation of Israel. They said, God said, I'm going to take you to this land. That's a physical land. And just like there's a physical land for the children of Israel in the Old Testament, there is a spiritual land for us to appropriate. And it follows the same basic principles here that we see in Joshua chapter 1. Well, what's the next principle that we see? Well, in order to appropriate that land, to sense victory, as the children of Israel were going into that land, there had to be a law to obey. What was that law? Well, look with me at verse 7. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Incidentally, that's named a couple times here, if you notice, at least three times in this chapter. Be strong and very courageous. That's up to me. That's not, Lord, you didn't give me the courage and the strength. That's on me. Be strong and very courageous, for to this people you should divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to you. Be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that is in the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's all on me. So in order for me to gain victory, to progress in my walk with the Lord, just like the nation of Israel was to progress and gain in their walk for the Lord as they went into the land of Canaan, which is the current state of Israel, that's what it is, the size of New Jersey. Just look at New Jersey. What is it? 174 is the highest, or somewhere around there on the Garden State Parkway, all the way down to zero on Cape May. That's Israel. You take the map of Israel and put it over against New Jersey, it looks the same. So it's not a big piece of property right there that occupies Israel today, but it's much wider than it eventually. The kingdom is going to be a lot wider than that for sure. But right now, that's what we're talking about. And they were going to cross this Jordan River. Jordan River is no wider than your parking lot out here. But it still needed to be divided. And the children of Israel, 2 million of them, still had to go through and follow the Ark of the Covenant. The priests would take that Ark of the Covenant, which was, I say this reverently, no larger than a coffee table, but filled with very important things in it. The manna, the Aaron's rod that budded, the Ten Commandments, all those things, like a coffee table with a lid, and going down into the Jordan River. The ark was carried or driven, we might say, with sticks on either side, and these poles were on the shoulders of the priests, and they would go through, and the children of Israel would have to follow those priests. It was a very clear picture, a clear spiritual picture. We follow the Lord wherever He takes us. We're obedient to Him and to His word. And so if you are wondering, how come I'm not feeling all that wonderful as a believer, my question would be, are you following God's word? It says here, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all to the law of Moses. Here, that's what they had at that time. We would say all the word of God. Don't turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Just a personal word of testimony. When I know that I'm doing what God tells me to do, there is a spiritual strength that you sense. There is a force that you feel when you know you're doing what God wants you to do. When you don't obey what God says for you to do, there is a hesitancy. There is a lack of confidence. All those things. So that's why Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. When you are obeying God's word, and you know you are, you'll step out on a limb by faith. Be willing to try whatever the Lord leads you to do. It's the confidence in Christ that God gives us when we obey his word. But if not, then we are hesitant, as I mentioned. And so the nation of Israel is being reminded here, for them to have victory, they needed to go into the land and obey the word of God, as God said it. And they did. Chapter 6 talks about the victory they had at Jericho. This huge stronghold. As a matter of fact, God led them to a conflict immediately, as soon as they walked into the land. But God, by design, planned it because he wanted them to see that they could be victorious despite the obstacles that lay before them. And so can we, in the strength of the Lord. And so God led them to a very large stronghold in Jericho. Now, there were some problems afterwards. You know the story in chapter 7. Achan had taken of the accursed thing, and because of that, there was compromise and sin in the camp, and they were soundly defeated by a much smaller group of people in a smaller city, Ai, in the next chapter. And so when we're walking with the Lord, we feel God is with us. When we're not, we're compromised, you're going to feel weak. And so that's what it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me read those words to you. This is just an exhortation from the first epistle, Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your progress or prospering may be evident to all. It's going to be pretty clear. You know, it says in John chapter 4, book of Acts, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled and took note, what? That they had been with Jesus. They were unlearned men, which means unlettered, which means they didn't have any college degree, they didn't have any schooling, they were fishermen. And yet, these fishermen stood before councils of highly educated religious authorities, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they marveled, and they took note that they'd been with Jesus. And the illustrations are all through the scripture when somebody's close with the Lord, walking with him. What does it say in Psalm 37? They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. When Moses came off the Mount Sinai, and he'd been with the Lord, it says his face shone, and he didn't even know it. And so that's what happens. And in Matthew chapter 17, you have the three men that were there, Peter, James, and John, the Lord with them. And as they went to prayer, the Lord Jesus' face began to shine. That's what happens when we go into prayer. It may not change us, but it may change our circumstances, rather, but it could change us. So entering into our spiritual inheritance means appropriating the promises of God and following God at his word. And when we do, the time is finished with a wandering, and now it's time to progress forward in our walk with Christ. We all need that. Not a one of us would say, I've arrived. Paul, after 25 years of being a Christian, right? He never said, that I've arrived. Not that I've already arrived or either already made perfect, but I follow after. That's what Paul said. I press. When you press, that means there's resistance. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we do. We press. We move forward. But how wonderful it is when we see the progress that's being made because we take God at his word and God blesses and honors those who honor him. And so there is a law to obey. And that's a principle in entering our inheritance. A third principle that we see here in Joshua 1 for spiritual victory is a lesson to learn. Now those are verses we didn't read. Let's look at them again. Joshua chapter 1. Now look at verse 10. It says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Verses 10 through 15, a lesson to learn. What's going on in these verses? I'm familiar with it. I studied it before you did. So you're trying to say, what's happening here? Okay, what is happening here? Well, notice these three tribes in verse 12, the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh. They're the ones being addressed. In a previous situation, if you traced all this out in the different references, they're always linked together, those three tribes. Two tribes and a half a tribe of Manasseh. They always seem to be together. Well, what's the story behind it? What's the backstory here? This is very intriguing. They came to this area and they said to Moses, you know what? We're fine where we are. We don't need to go into that land. This is fine for us. They were talking about the land of Bashan, what today is referred to as the Golan Heights, which we've been to when we've done our trips to Israel with Know the Word. And it's elevated property, and you can see into the land of Israel. It's very picturesque. You can see distances tremendously. They said, this is good land for us. It's fine grazing land for our cattle. We're content to satisfy and settle down right here. That was their take on the whole thing. And Moses had to say, sorry, but we're all one unit. And we go into the land and we fight together. And when we're all finished taking the land of Canaan and conquering it, you can come back and you can settle here if you want to. Guaranteed it'll be better over there than it is here. But they weren't willing to go do that work. They wanted to settle right there. They said, this is good enough. You know what that's like? That's like a brand new Christian saying, oh, this is wonderful. I'm content right here. No need to go any further. I don't really have to study the Bible. I'm happy as I am. You know what? God has a way of changing your mind. He lets you experience trials and a sense of hollowness or superficiality in your walk with the Lord or whatever it might be. And you say, I got to go further than just my meager existence as a believer. And that's a spiritual lesson right there. They didn't realize that they were really vulnerable where they were. Just to let me show you this. Turn in your Bibles. You see it on the screen, those that are at home. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 26. And, of course, you folks, too, see it here. But just turn with me for 1 second to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Okay, so they're saying, hey, we're happy to be right here. This is good property, good real estate. We don't need to move any further than this. They didn't realize that down the road there were some consequences for that kind of compromising attitude in their walk with the Lord. Verse 26 of chapter 5, 1 Chronicles. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria. Don't forget the fact that when nations go against nations, sometimes God allows that to happen for his sovereign purposes. We don't know all those purposes. We'll know in the future, but we don't know now. And so he stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And what did he do? It says right here in verse 26, he carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Hala, Habor, Harar, and the river of Gozan to this day. Why those 2.5 tribes? Because any of the enemies of God's people, Israel, when they came into the land of Israel, came in by the north. That was the flattest piece of property, and anybody in the way would obviously come into harm's way. In the nation of Israel, surrounded by mountains, but not there. Or if it was elevated land, it was easy entrance. And so anybody in that area were sitting ducks, we might say. And so they suffered because of their lack of interest of going into the land. They were staying in that particular area, and it was right in line with invading armies. So any of Israel's invading armies always entered by the way of the north, this land that these 2.5 tribes settled in. So don't forget, in your walk with the Lord, there is consequences for taking the mediocre position. Okay? You know, it's kind of like the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Remember the church at Laodicea? We have need of nothing. You know? And God says, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You're not cold that you really need to call on the Lord. You realize it. Like all the prostitutes and publicans and all those in the gospel accounts. And they're not on fire for the Lord. There's a whole thing there. Abraham, when he was going to do battle to retrieve his nephew Lot, Genesis chapter 14, he had trained servants, he was equipped, and he was victorious because he was walking with the Lord. They weren't like this. They were middle of the road. And someone said it this way, when you're in the middle of the road, you get run over. And that's what happens, right? So this is what happened with the 2.5 tribes. And so there is a lesson to learn from the example of these 2.5 tribes. But something more intriguing takes place in Mark chapter 5. No need to turn to it. But if you're familiar with your Bible, you remember Mark chapter 5 is where the Gadarene maniac, the one who's demon-possessed, running amongst the tombs. What do we call him? Gadarene. Gadarene. Doesn't that sound familiar? Gadites, Gadarene. What was their occupation in the area of Gadara? They were swine herders, something that would have been abhorrent to any Jewish person. So the descendants of the Gadites became swine herders, the place that was compromised totally from the biblical standpoint. So there's a lot of consequences, and our descendants can be impacted by our lack of commitment for the Lord now. So that's why we need to keep moving on and pressing on in our walk with the Lord. Finally, the fourth principle that comes through here in this account for spiritual victory and triumph is this point: there is a leader to follow. And you find that in the last three verses, verse of chapter 1, this is of Joshua, chapter 1 and verses 16 through 18. This is what we read in that portion. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. That was the children of Israel's sentiment. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. And so they were to follow their Joshua. The word Joshua means Jehovah saves. It's the Hebrew word for that phrase, Jehovah saves. The Greek word in the New Testament is Jesus. Joshua is the Old Testament Jesus, if I can say it that way. And he was the captain of the Lord of hosts for the nation of Israel, the physical captain. And he was to lead them into triumph because of who he was, Joshua, the commander. For the Christian, we have the Lord Jesus, and he's the one that we follow in triumph. And I could hardly believe my ears when I heard 1 Corinthians 2 read this morning, all right, verses 14 through 16. Blessed be the God who leads us in triumph. This is exactly what the scripture speaks about. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, rather, verses 14 through 16. It diffuses the fragrance of this place. But we always triumph in Christ. Romans 8 says another way. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And all these verses about victory. Victory is real in the Christian life. We can have victory. But if we have compromise, remember what the lesson to learn was, the whole book of the Lord. Make sure you don't turn to the right or to the left. Hebrews 2:10 reminds us we have the captain of our salvation who brings many sons to glory. He doesn't fail. So we follow him in obedience. And any time that we're not walking in obedience, we're going to be compromised. The Lord is gracious. He's merciful. That's the age of grace in which we live. And God forgives us for these things. And he's put away our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord for that. But still, the Lord will judge his people. And there are times that we don't experience the things that we should be experiencing because we're conflicted. The spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5:16. So this is important for us to follow the leader. You know, in little grade school, we used to have a game, right? Follow the leader. You know the game, right? You walk around, follow the person, whatever they do. And that's what we really ought to be doing with the Lord Jesus. And it says, just as he walked, so we should walk. Follow his steps. And that's what we're reminded of in the scriptures. And so what we have here is an example of moving into our inheritance in a place of victory. Now somebody says, well, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Well, let me read you a verse from Joshua 13. This can lay low here. Joshua's old and advanced in years. I always like the King James Version. It says he's stricken with years. But I feel like that myself. I'm stricken with years. Right? But the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. So just because you're in your 70s or 80s doesn't mean that you don't have land to possess. Caleb had it. And we do too. No retirement in our walk with the Lord. Right? And so we are enjoined, we're encouraged to move ahead, continually move ahead in the things of Christ. And so Joshua chapter 1, good principles for victory in the life of the Christian, following the same pattern that the nation of Israel went through as they went into their inheritance, that's what we should be doing as well. And we trust the Lord will really encourage us to do that. And we take self-inventory. Just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want to move ahead. It's been a tough year this past year. Lord, I want to change in my life. I don't want to turn over a new leaf. That's the world's terminology. We want to move ahead. We want to press on. We want to follow on. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His faithfulness is there. We want to move ahead in the strength of the Lord. That's what the scriptures talk about, and that's what we can do as well. And God will give us that help and that strength. All we need to do is ask him for his help. You know, in the Old Testament, in the wanderings, they first, Moses had to strike that rock. Then came the life-giving water. After that point, all he had to do is speak to the rock. Now, he did strike it again. He was suffered a consequence. He messed up the type there. And he suffered the consequences. But the principle is this. All you have to do is ask the Lord for help. And he'll give that help. James 1 tells us very clearly, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives deliberately to all, and he doesn't upbraid, doesn't scold us for that, and he wants us to move ahead for him. And when we can do that for him, God will bless and will be blessed as a result. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for your grace, your goodness to us. Help us through your word, Father, to be encouraged and strengthened and desirous to move ahead in our spiritual walk with you, so that we can indeed be grateful and thankful for your promises, for your presence in our lives all the time. Thank you for this spiritual lesson from Joshua 1, and we pray, Father, that we might make good on the lessons that are derived from this chapter. We ask these things, giving thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.